The following podcast is a part of RadioMisfits.com. And now it's time for the Mr. Nelson Show.
Well, found myself not having anything better to do.
Which happens a lot.
Yeah, so guess what I did?
You watched an episode of Space 1999!
Yeah. Yeah, that's what I did. So, you know, the moon's cruising along. Yeah, okay, so what happened this time? Well, they encounter another disturbance or whatever,
another mysterious cloud that sends an ugly robot to attack them.
No, this time, not even really a cloud. Boy, I got to tell you, one of the things about Space 1999, it's one of its positives, is the models and whatnot. They had quite a few repurposed footage nonetheless, but it worked out. It looked really good for its time. And then as the money ran out, you could tell. Some of the modeling scenes didn't work out all that great, but still holds up to some degree in comparison to others at the time. But as far as strange entities and whatnot, when they keep doing the same thing, hey, how do we depict it this time? Well, this time it was just some sort of, little star formation thing.
What do you mean?
It's just, it was kind of green with a black background and kind of like a, like a hippy-dippy psychedelic rendition of the sun or something like that, you know.
Kind of flowery even.
Yeah, yeah, I would say that. And they would just say, oh, no, that thing is out there, and they would show it on the screen, and that was about it.
So it was another, not on the ship, but on the base episode.
Yeah. I mean, they got all those sets, which were pretty extensive and whatnot, so, you know, you want to make use of that.
But every now and then, they got to go to another planet.
Yeah, well, Yeah, they hadn't done that in a couple episodes now. So, anyway, oh no, it's bathing them in God knows what.
So they're all getting sick and dying, probably. I mean, good Lord, the radiation can give them cancer.
No, they didn't do that. It actually apparently was able to boost their latent psychic abilities.
What?
Yeah. So they come into contact with this, and weird things happen. And one of the crew members, this girl, lady, she gets killed.
Oh, my God. What happened?
Well, she gets trapped in a room, and everything turns against her. And
that's almost like a ghost attacked her, or a demon.
Yeah, it's a lot like that. In fact, this whole episode is more akin to the idea of a poltergeist than what happens in it.
What do you mean?
Well, I'll get to it. So mysterious things like that keep occurring. All of a sudden, the wind comes out of nowhere and knocks people over. Instead,
wind? You mean just shut the window?
Well, they can't open windows. They're on the moon.
All right.
So, meanwhile, Commander Koenig, he's no use.
What? He's sick again, laid in bed.
No. He keeps having nightmares about these ghosts haunting him.
I'm like, well, maybe this is a ghost story.
Yeah, you would almost think. But these were visions of crewmen from his past, some mission he was on, to where he was forced to abandon two of his crewmen and leave them behind to die.
Why would he do that?
Well, they had contracted this Venusian flu.
Venusian flu?
Yeah. Yeah. If you go to Venus, you might catch that.
Well, maybe they shouldn't have gone there.
Well, they did. And he couldn't let them back on the ship, so they just had to leave. And, well, they just stayed on that, I don't know where they were. I guess a space station or something. I forget. And, well, they died.
Because of the flu?
Yeah.
Well, like, what, couldn't they have treated him or something?
Nah, it's so bad. And if they'd let him on the ship, then it would have spread to everybody else and they would have brought it back to Earth. And so, you know, that wouldn't have worked out.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, that's too bad. Yeah, it is, but he feels guilty about it. It's funny he never mentioned it until now.
Exactly. Yeah, because he's really torn up about it. But yeah, before he was like, hey, look, you know, it's a long time ago and life goes on. But boy, you know, Dr. Russell looked really disgusted at him because he was like, oh, you know, well, I don't know if he actually cried, but he was really scared. Like, oh, no. And she was like, oh, my God.
She needed him to nut up.
Yeah, she sure did. But all of this were elements of this weird flower star thing that's affecting them. And so Dr. Russell thinks, hey, maybe this is psychic abilities. And Tony, of course, becomes the inspector here to investigate what's going on here and how the woman earlier, Sally, I believe her name was, who got killed.
Oh, so they think it was murder. But not from some alien intelligence.
No, they're beginning to suspect somebody has psychic powers and killed her with that.
What?
Yeah. So Dr. Russell conducts all these experiments on people to see if they can tell her which card she's holding up, you know, then not seeing the image on the other end and that sort of thing. And then getting them to see if they can move balls around.
Whose balls?
No. These were just ball bearings on in a box or something.
In a box?
Yeah, come on. And a couple of them are able to do it.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And then what did she do? Oh, she put them in. They were able to move it. And then she put them in like an isolation chamber and then they couldn't. So finally, there's this little soap opera going on because it turns out Sally, who got killed, had a boyfriend and they suspected he might have done it.
Oh, my goodness.
But he's with another woman now.
Oh, so he's moved on.
Right. But then she's jealous of Sally.
Uh-oh.
That's right. And when they test her, boy, her psychic powers are off the scale.
Oh, wow. She's like, well, why has she got better powers?
I don't know. I guess because she's really jealous and very possessive of this guy. And when he ends up rejecting her, did she kill him? I can't remember. She sure threw him around and stuff with her psychic powers. And then she gets power mad and crazy and decides to take over the whole base, makes people do things and gets Tony to get on his knees and call her the commander and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But the thing about it, about Tony, the rest of the crew, she had managed to make them stand still and frozen in place. But Tony,
he was fighting it to the end, but ultimately had to succumb to her power.
Like that kind of thing?
Oh, my God. That's terrible. But then how come it was so easy to do the others, but not him?
I don't know. I guess his superior intellect. Oh, no, that wasn't it. Yeah, it was probably he was just more stupid than the rest and her powers didn't reach him good enough. But anyway, she gets him on the ground. And then, of course, Maya shows up and she, of course, she could turn into monsters and stuff. But then Carolyn takes control of her and makes her turn herself into a worm.
What?
I guess more like a caterpillar or whatever. And then threatens to stomp on her and kill her. And Tony's like, oh, don't do it. You know, she just laughs at him, whatever. And then eventually, after Koenig overcomes his guilt, he confronts Carolyn. And he just says,
well, how does he defeat her?
Well, that's the thing. He defeats her by not hating her.
What?
Yeah, I don't hate you. She's convinced everyone does. And that's what's making her be evil or something.
That's stupid. I mean, of course people should hate her. I mean, she's a murderer. I mean, what the hell?
Yeah, but Koenig, you know, after he got over his guilt about those former crewmen that was haunting him, he said, you know what? I just don't hate you. And apparently the fuel of her psychic power is other people's hatred and negative emotions. And without any of that, she just collapses under the weight of her power, I guess, or something.
Weight of her power? But if there's no negative emotion around for her to feed on, she wouldn't have any.
Yeah. But that's what happens. And then later on,
would they put her in jail or something?
No, they just let her sleep in the sick bay or infirmary, whatever, because she suffered severe brain damage and is now the intellect of a child or something like that.
What?
Yeah. So.
So now the medical staff has just got to feed her and wipe her ass for the rest of their journey through space?
Probably, yeah.
Good Lord, what about, you know, the people who got killed?
Yeah, well, they can't do anything because she's like a child now.
That's just stupid.
Yeah, but that's kind of typical for season two of Space 1999.
You're listening to the Mr. Nelson Show here on RadioMisfits.com. Invisible goblins terrifying a family in Zimbabwe? Perhaps, but maybe not. Three young children and their grandparents have allegedly been at the mercy of some mischievous entities. According to local news reports, the phenomena plaguing the family who hail from Zimbabwe began in November of 2023 and quickly left them frightened and confused. Among the many incidents that have occurred at their home were cases of objects disappearing into thin air, strange noises, lights flickering, doors closing on their own, and even on a few occasions, the family's children, aged 8, 12, and 13, being physically attacked by an unseen force. One morning, our children woke up with their heads shaved, said one of the grandparents. We thought it was a one-time thing. The next day, our youngest child woke up in the middle of the night screaming. He had been stabbed in the leg with a knife. He also woke up with his head shaved again. We were all terrified and completely clueless about what was happening. In desperation, the family turned to spiritual healers and other practitioners in the region. But rather than help matters, such interventions only seemed to make things worse. Intriguingly, when the grandparents sent the children to live with their maternal grandmother in South Africa, the phenomena seemed to follow them there, prompting her to send them back home. While the family have attributed the occurrences to goblins, if all of this had been happening in the U.S., for example, it's more likely that it would have been attributed to poltergeist activity. Either way, it seems that whatever it is that has been plaguing the family, it has left them at the end of their tether. So, is this a case of invisible goblins, poltergeists, or, you know, really cruel pranks or bumps in the night? Perhaps, but maybe not.
Maybe this crowbar will help. Whoa! Man, what the hell's in here? Whoa!
Look at all this stuff. Man, it's a couple of weird-looking Volkswagen Beetles. Oh, man, look at all those costumes. Well, that looks like the same kind of suits that Bugman wears. Huh, that must mean, yeah, Bug Finger is Bugman. Huh, oh, wow, look at this golden bug trophy thing. Man, feels like it really is gold. I wonder how much I could get for that at the pawn shop. Uh-oh, someone's coming. Oh, man, what do I do? I know, I'm hiding this locker thing with the trophy. There we go. Squeeze the door shut. There. Man, that must be his Bugmobile.
Be it ever so humble, there's no place like the bug hole. Oh, damn it! Some of them got out. Crap crawling on the seat. Make a mess. Deal with that later. As for the rest of you, I'm gonna put you in the little lab case here where I can begin my concentration. But first, man, I gotta take off the bug utility belt. Oh, yeah, I can breathe. Can't really explain it. I guess I'm gonna need to make up some new bug suits. Apparently these seem to have shrunk in the wash, I guess. Anyway, I'm gonna put this up here so the belt can be recharged.
No!
What the hell? Who's in there?
Oh, no!
Dick! What are you doing in here? Damn it, now you know it's a bug man.
The bug trophy's up my butt! Hang the needle with that on it!
You mean to scare him? Oh, no! Oh, damn it. Wait a minute.
It's stinging me.
It's been activated. Well, I'm not going anywhere near your butthole. Where the hell is Smedley supposed to have been watching you anyway? God damn it!
And soon, as Smedley is retrieved from his, you know, love nest interlude, and brought down to the bug hole so he can deal with Dick's butthole.
Damn it, boy! Stop moving around! You keep doing that and this thing might go in the wrong direction and bust one of your guts!
God damn it, Dick! Ah! I can't concentrate with all that racket!
Well, what do you need to concentrate for? I'm the one who's suffering here!
I'm trying to ascertain the identities of the people behind the sabotage dunk tank that ended in the deaths of your parents.
Sitting there staring at a box full of bugs? That's stupid!
Those bugs were at the crime scene, you idiot. They saw and heard everything that happened there.
What are you gonna do, ask them?
Exactly, Dick. As you've discovered, I am Bugman, and one of my bug abilities is the ability to communicate with bugs.
What? Really? I mean, I thought you could, I don't know, sprout wings and fly and stick to walls and stuff and be super strong.
Well, actually,
Yeah, he can stick to walls, but he's so damn out of shape and fat he can't hang on to it long enough. That's why he needs all these other accessories to help him do his bug man shit. Oh, yeah, he can talk to the bugs, too.
All right, Smedley, that's enough of that crap.
Maybe crap, but it's true.
Shut up! I'm getting something.
All right. Hurry up and cover up that hot wire, lest anyone see it. Yeah, old Miracle Melvin's gonna learn the lesson not to mess with Mr. Butthole.
Good Lord, it paid off. It seems the bugs have revealed the name of the true culprit behind this murder.
Yeah, I can hear it too. The man who killed my parents was Mr. Butthole.
Oh, boy, stop messing around. Ain't nobody can hear them bugs but Mr. Finger. Now, here, sit on this ice bag.
No, Smedley, you're completely wrong.
What? No, he needs to sit on that ice bag. You didn't see the damage up close. It ripped up his butthole, but good.
What? No, not the ice pack. I mean, the bugs did reveal that the name of the true culprit behind this double homicide was indeed a Mr. Butthole.
Oh, man, what the hell?
Don't you realize what this means, Smedley? The gangsters have run out of good nicknames? No. That despite the unfortunate series of events that led to Dick discovering my secret identity, no thanks to your incompetence, since you were supposed to be watching him. Yeah, well, I had some business to attend to. Yeah, I saw the business there, Smedley. Well, that's what you get for not knocking. Seems like there was enough knocking going on there already. Oh, man, come on, man. Anyway, the point is that Dick discovered my Bugman identity. And yet fate has played a role in this. Not only is he, of course, family, but he is also now like me. For he, too, has been gifted with bug powers thanks to my father's old scarab that went up his butt and injected him with its abilities to give, you know, bug powers.
Oh, man. Huh. You get superpowers up the butt?
Never mind that, Dick. The point is, you now have super bug powers like me. So, from this day forward, I will train you to be my partner in crime fighting.
Oh, boy!
Well, who didn't see this coming? Now all that remains is what happens next. Perhaps we'll find out the next exciting episode of Bugman.
Bugman was written, produced, and performed by me, Douglas Nelson. Music came courtesy of Kevin MacLeod and other public domain sources.
Did a woman marry and then divorce a ghost? Perhaps, but maybe not. A singer-songwriter from England has turned her personal experiences into a passion for paranormal investigation. The 40-year-old, who goes by the professional name Brocard, has attracted quite a following in recent years thanks to her rather unusual infatuation with an alleged spook. The story goes that Brocard met the ghost of Eduardo, a Victorian soldier, when he burst into her bedroom one night, and a supernatural romance soon followed. Exactly how their relationship worked on a practical level remains unclear, but she was reportedly so infatuated with her ghostly companion that after struggling to find a venue, she ended up organizing a ceremony at the Asylum Chapel in Peckham, London, where the two were married. Eduardo was making sure I knew he was there throughout the ceremony by whispering things in my ear and gently nudging me, she said. I was so grateful Eduardo turned up and didn't leave me standing at the altar. It feels amazing that I am finally his wife. Her happiness was short-lived, however, when, not long afterward, she became convinced that the ghost was cheating on her and promptly filed for divorce. She even claimed to have elicited the services of an exorcist to ensure that her former husband was gone and would not continue to haunt her. If this all happens to sound a bit far-fetched, then that's because it assuredly is. Suffice to say, there is no concrete evidence that Eduardo even existed, and the marriage was in no way official. Nonetheless, these experiences have had quite an influence on her life, and she has since developed quite a passion for paranormal investigation. I see spirits on a regular basis now, she says. I'm hypersensitive to ghosts, and seem to attract them. I consult mediums constantly to gain a better understanding of why this could be and to make sense of my encounters. One medium suggested that Eduardo and I entered each other's lives for a reason, and we have helped each other. So, could this have been the case of star-crossed lovers of the paranormal? Or just some bullshit from a crazy attention-seeking bitch? Perhaps, but maybe not.
The views and opinions expressed during the Mr. Nelson Show do not necessarily reflect those held by RadioMisfits.com. So, any complaints and or comments should be sent to @MrNelson on Twitter, where they will be promptly ignored and or blocked.
You get superpowers up the butt?
Never mind that, Dick.